This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline, where you can bet smarter and beat the books, download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com, is one of my favorites to have on the show, Nikki Javala from the Washington Post. Nikki, by the way, before she got to D.C., was in Denver, and we were just talking about last night's game and the full-fledged Jameis Winston experience, which is really something else. But, you know, I was thinking about this during the break. You were in Denver, where there is this steeped history, this tradition, which includes, you know, multiple Lombardi trophies, you know, Super Bowl titles, and it's been a while, and now they're having a surprising season with a young quarterback, and now you've been in Washington for several years, where it's been a lot longer since, you know, there's been anything to cheer for. Is that town probably the same as this one in terms of it's been forever and the excitement levels through the roof?
Probably, but Denver hasn't, they haven't been tortured nearly as much as Washington.
True.
Fans.
True.
I mean, their last title was, what, 99?
Yeah.
And they, you know, or not 99, 2015. So they've had quite a bit of success and good quarterbacks. But it is kind of strange for me because it feels like both teams are on parallel tracks. And I don't know if I'm to blame or to credit for their resurgence, but I'm going to go with the latter, I think.
By the way, their last Super Bowl was Peyton's Super Bowl,
right,
in 2015.
And that was my first year full-time on the beat. And then when he retired, it's you got to replace a franchise quarterback, and how do you do that? Which is the same thing that Washington has been doing for the last 20-some years.
Yeah. I think, though, and you can speak to this more than I can because you've got experience with both now, but that the fan bases, in terms of kind of that simmering, ready-to-explode passion, is similar. Denver and Washington, for a long period of time, and you got to go back a ways, were considered to be two of the three or four best NFL cities in the league.
Mm-hmm. Yes, no, totally. And I think the difference with Denver is, you know, because they hadn't been out of it for as long, you didn't, and there wasn't as much off-field stuff going on, I would say. There was off-field stuff, but not to this degree.
Right.
that, you know, they continued to sell out or have close to sellouts. Because that town is, that's a Broncos town. I mean, even when the Nuggets win it all, people still really only care about the Broncos. So, you know, the focus has been on them entirely, whereas I feel like in Washington, while there's still so many loyal fans, and it is a marquee market, and it's sad to watch how it dwindled over the years, you know, they did lose quite a number of people. Don't know that happened in Denver.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I mean, part of it is, you know, just the way this fan base, as you said, went through a completely different experience than the one that Denver's fan base went through. But I think also just two totally different markets, right? I mean, this is East Coast, and, you know, people are more cynical and will move on probably faster, and maybe are a little bit less loyal. I don't know. I wanted to ask you one other thing, and we'll get to the team here in a moment. But you covered at least one of the teams, right, that Vic Fangio was the head coach of?
Yes, I did.
I mean, the job he's doing in Philadelphia right now, are you surprised?
No. No. I mean, like, what he did in Denver his last year, I had already come up here, but I thought that was one of the more remarkable coaching jobs, because I think they had, like, cycled through 10 linebackers that year. I mean, he was not working with the elite of the elite over there, and that defense was still good. The problem was the offense was trash, but the defense was really good. So, no, I'm not surprised. I mean, he has a pair of really good young corners. But I mean, that's what he does. He's an exceptional defensive coordinator. A head coach, I don't know that he was best suited for that, because of all the extra stuff that comes with that job. But this is his bread and butter. He's really good at it. They got some serious talent over there in Philly too.
One more Denver, Washington question. So I've found it interesting over the years, we may have talked about this once before, that we had Mike, who came from Denver in 2010, Jay, who had come from, you know, kind of a smaller market, Cincinnati, in 2014, Ron, who had come from Charlotte in 2020, that they were always very sensitive, and I think you know this especially from the last regime, to this being a very, very tough, they would describe it, media market when it came to the team. Mm-hmm. And whenever I would have any conversations with them or people out there, I would say, you guys have no idea. Like, yeah. There's no comparison compared to, you know, a New York or a Boston or a Philly.
Right.
You know,
right.
What are the big differences between Denver and Washington when it comes to not just the media market, but the fan market as well, and how they describe and handle the conversation about the team?
Honestly, I think the fan market is pretty similar. I mean, outside of the things we discussed about, you know, fans leaving in Washington, and rightfully so with all the stuff they dealt with over the years. But, you know, like any fan base, if you're not, you know, they booed Peyton Manning at one point in 2015. I mean, he had a really crap game where he had a zero passer rating. But, you know, if they're booing Peyton Manning, you know, everything's fair game, right? But the media market, it's different. I still find it laughable when people say that this is a tough media market. Obviously, I'm biased being in it, but I've also worked in New York, and I mean, anybody knows that that's, right. You know, how that compares. This is not tough. I mean, you know, there have been tough things that have been dealt with in this media market with this team. But I don't think the questioning has been out of hand. Frankly, I get a lot of messages asking why we don't ask more. But I do think the media markets are different. And this is, you know, of course, no disrespect to my colleagues in Denver, but it is different. You know, I'm trying to find a good way to say this. I think there is a little bit more.
There's more of an edge
within the media market. No?
Realism, you said?
Fanism within I don't want to say homer. I feel like that's it has such a negative connotation, but
yeah.
you know, it is a bit softer, you know, but they also haven't dealt with, you know, a lot of the things that this team has gone through. So it's different.
What game did Peyton Manning have a zero passer rating in?
It was the game that he broke Marino's passing yards. It was the same game. He broke the record and then had a horrible game, had a zero pass rating, got benched in the third quarter.
Wow.
Yeah, and then he had dealt with, like, a plantar fasciitis. That's when Brock Osweiler came in for, like, six games, I want to say, to the season finale, and then Peyton carried him through the Super Bowl. So,
you know, I always felt like that Super Bowl team, the team that beat Ron Rivera's Carolina Panthers in the Super Bowl, you know, it was clearly defensive-led, Von Miller-led, but I thought in the postseason he played okay. Is my memory off on that or not?
He did. I mean, that offense recorded some of the lowest numbers for a winning offense in the Super Bowl. But I, you know, it's sort of like, you know, injured Mahomes is still better than 90% of the quarterbacks. It's sort of the same thing where, you know, Peyton, even when injured, he's just such a smart quarterback that he could still mask a lot of deficiencies that they had on offense and still overcome a lot and still be successful. So I think if it were any other quarterback and they had that offense and relied entirely on the defense, and the defense was one of the best I've watched, I don't think it would have been enough.
Talking to Nikki Javala from the Washington Post, you can follow Nikki on X at Nikki Javala, J-H-A-B-V-A-L-A. So let's go to Sunday and the 42-19 win over the Titans. What does it say about the team that this adversity, for the first time they faced it, not, you know, I felt it was much more so after the Dallas game than after losing to Pittsburgh and Philly, but that they not only bounced back, but they did it with, you know, kind of a changing of the vibe, you know, back to what it was 3.5 weeks ago. Who gets the most credit for that?
Honestly, I mean, I would credit Quinn and Kingsbury. I mean, and that's, I thought the narrative of, I still think the Cliff Kingsbury, you know, narrative about his offense kind of falling off in the second half, I still think that's a misnomer. I mean, I think each one is, there are different circumstances in each one, so I don't think that there's a direct trend there.
100%.
And the thing I really credit him for, and you don't see this in every coach, is his ability and willingness to adapt on the fly, adapt to his personnel. And he's done that. He did that for this game, you know, like how much did we talk about? I certainly did. I'm guilty of it. Talking about Terry and which side of the ball, which side of the field he lined up on and, you know, his early targets. Well, Terry got the first target. He was involved early. He was moved around. Like, he adapts. You know, this scheme is not your traditional air raid. It's tailored to Jaden Daniels. It's built around Jaden Daniels. So to kind of bring that offense back, yes, I do think that Dallas game was primarily execution-based. Like, the players did not play well. But the offense also needed tweaking, and I thought Kingsbury made those tweaks, and the players came through.
Are the tweaks, like, to me, the biggest tweak is they went to a lot of quick passing game, which I think really created this down and distance thing on Sunday. They had 12 third and threes or shorter. I mean, that's I don't know that I've ever seen a number that high of third down and threes or shorter in a game. Yep. And I felt like they didn't do enough of it. But do you think it was more about specifically Terry lining up more on the right side than he had previously done?
No, because everybody knows, like, whether he's on the right side or the left side, Terry, they're going to find Terry, and defenses are going to have a plan for him. But it was more about moving him around, which can open up opportunities for others. And that's what we saw more of. Getting the running game going again was probably the biggest impetus for this victory, I think. And the O-line is, you know, deserves a lot of credit there. I mean, the Titans' defense deserves a lot of credit here because they provided clear lanes, which was very surprising because they've been a pretty stout defense against the run this season. But Yeah, I mean, they put it all together. It looked like the team we saw in week 3 and 4. Jaden looked like himself again. You know, and Tyler, you see it in the energy he plays with. I usually hate that word, energy, because it's such a vague BS kind of term. But, like, you could actually see it in him in the game. And the way he ran his explosiveness, you know, the way he's seeing the ball, just, you know, he had it again. So, yeah, they were firing on all cylinders on Sunday.
So what are they going to do about kicker?
Yeah, I mean, at this point in the season, I don't know how many, you know, they know that Zane can make some kicks. Him missing those two are just not great. I still kind of think they sign him. I could be wrong, but it's still, you know, Quinn said he's still confident in him. I still think they sign him, get through, you know, the next 3 games. If you make a run in the postseason, see where Austin's at. But, yeah, I mean,
don't they have to bring in kickers? It's the perfect time to do it, right?
Yeah, I mean, they could. It's just, you know, think about how many kickers they've brought in and cycled through already. Are there ones out there that they don't know about at this point?
Like, yeah, maybe not, unless somebody cuts Justin Tucker or the guy in Atlanta, Koo, who's missed a bunch of kicks. It's been weird, and I don't have the data. It's just more kind of watching a lot of football on Sunday. It seems like there have been a lot of missed field goals around the league.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of blocked field goals. There are definitely been more blocked field goals. Yeah, the Justin Tucker one still weirds me out. I mean, I know he's getting older, but he's a kicker. To me, that just looks like he has the yips.
Totally. Yeah, he's got the yips. All right, so we'll see what happens there. By the way, I thought that the whole Austin Seibert thing was, you know, maybe not
weird,
necessarily suspicious, but it certainly was intriguing because it was a groin, it wasn't the hip, and when did it happen? Because he didn't show any signs of it happening during the game. What do you think happened there? Do you think they just wanted to move on from him and that was the easiest way to sort of part ways in the interim?
I mean, why not just cut him if you wanted to part ways with him? I mean, that was...
Because he had only missed 2 kicks heading into that game, it would look kind of strange.
Still their prerogative, but that's why I don't think they totally wanted to move on from him. I don't know. It is a little weird. I tried asking around, you know, like anything with injuries, I feel like you never get the full answer. So I think what is throwing everybody off with that is when he said in the locker room after... it was the Dallas game, right?
Yeah.
When he said it was my decision to play, and that
right.
And maybe it was this case that like he overruled an athletic trainer's or the doctor's advice. That's how it came off. That's how it read that quote. Nobody said that's true because then, you know, it was a different injury that they put him on IR with, it is a little odd, but I also think if they want to part ways, A, you could just cut him. You did have Zane right there, and he had made some, if they felt it was serious enough to do 4 games, that's why they did it. Otherwise,
switching subjects, do we know, Nikki, that they tried to trade Emmanuel Forbes before the deadline and there just weren't any takers?
Yeah, I believe they did, yeah.
All right. And
he
got picked up by the Rams yesterday off waivers, so we'll see how that works out.
It's great for Washington, saves them $5 million in cap space.
That he got picked up?
Yep.
Okay, I didn't even realize that. What about Lattimore? Does he make his debut against his former team after the bye week in New Orleans?
I think so. I mean, all signs are pointing that way. A week ago he was close, and, you know, they held him. I figured they would hold him out this week to give him another 2 weeks of rest, so I would think so, barring any major setbacks.
Who are this team's Pro Bowlers? Because we're getting to that time of year.
Oh, man. Receiver is always hard because there are some really good receivers. Yeah, in the NFC, though I think Terry is definitely deserving. Will he make it? I think he was fourth among receivers in the first round of fan voting. Okay. I think Jaden makes it. Probably Wagner and or Luvu, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of Biotis, perhaps. I'm trying to think who else.
You hit. I mean, Jaden, Terry, Luvu, and Wagner were like the four that I was like. They. I know Fowler's got, you know, 8.5 sacks and is fourth in the NFC in sacks, but Luvu's the better player. It's what is it? 1/3 fans, 1/3 media, 1/3. How does it break down? Do you have a vote?
No. Okay. I don't know who the media vote is.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's coaches, I think.
Yeah.
Coaches and executives,
All right, so 4 games when they come back. What do you think? Is this a team that will win 2 more, get to 10, and make the playoffs?
I mean, they should. I mean, they should beat New Orleans. I know it's in New Orleans, but they should beat that team. Philly could be tough. Even though it is at home, it's not totally we know how Philly games go in Landover, right? At Dallas, that's a beatable team. You know, I feel silly saying that since they were very beatable before and, you know, Washington got their butt kicked. I think they have a very good shot for the playoffs. If they can just not implode and have more games like they did against Dallas, I think they should be okay. But
lastly, I know you're not covering this maybe as closely as, you know, some other people. I know you've been involved in the reporting on this. So I don't want to diminish it. You can tell me if I'm wrong here. But you have a sense, I'm sure, about how this Senate vote on what the Senate subcommittee passed last month. Do you think that the Senate will attach this to a bill? The RFK site will be cleared for the city to negotiate with the team? And just give me how you think this plays out, best hunch.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's always hard to say with politicians. You never know. I did not see the Steve Daines, you know, grandstanding come.
Right.
But I think it ultimately passes. I'm sure you saw that Goodell was in town for the game. Adam Silver was also in town for the game. And Goodell was, you know, meeting with senators along with Josh Harris. So they're really pushing to drive this through. So I think ultimately it does. It's more of a hunch than anything. But we'll see. I mean, it would be tough if they don't get it on a bill. I mean, just they got to restart the bus. And I think the progress this team has made on the field, but also the changes Josh Harris and his ownership group have made off the field, with bringing in as many new partnership deals as he had. I think it was up to 31 as of, you know, week 31 within the last year. I think that speaks to, you know, how this team can drive business, and that's huge for the city. I mean, I know other owners view D.C. as one of the major markets, as they should, for business, for the league, and having a stadium is a big part of any NFL team now. It's become a major real estate business. So getting the team back at RFK would be huge, and I ultimately think it does, but it's more just gut feeling than anything.
All right. Thanks. Always love catching up with you. I appreciate it. Hope you're well.
Thanks. I appreciate you having me.
All right. Nikki Jabala, everybody. We'll get to some Denton news. Ben Volen, the senior NFL writer.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in, service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Later for the Boston Globe will join us. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.